Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront talks to Monique Greenwood, star of OWN's new docuseries, Checked In. The Bed and Breakfast Guru is in the studio to chat about her journey and why this series is unlike anything you've seen before on television. Restaurateurs and stars of OWN's award-winning docuseries, Welcome to Sweetie Pies, Ms. Robbie and Charles are also in the studio to chat about tonight's season premiere. They also talk about their favorite holiday dishes and much more. Upfront is also commemorating the 25th anniversary of the classic film The Bodyguard by talking exclusively to former child star Devon Nixon. The 30-something-year-old actor is all grown up now and recalls his time on set with Whitney Houston and Kevin Costner. He also talks about his newest TV project, Marvel's Runaways, which debuted this week. We'll also be playing music from the film throughout the show, along with tributes to iconic entertainers Earl Hyman and Della Reese, who recently passed away. Kicking us off, as always, is Reva Blue with this week's casting buzz and entertainment news.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Central Casting is looking for men and women to portray parents at a high school wrestling match for Insatiable. The men and women must appear to be in their 30s to 50s and are there to support their kids in the stands. The actors must be available to work on this Monday, November 27th, and could not be seen on this show in the last 30 days. If this is you, please submit to insatiable@centralcasting.com with Monday in the subject line of the email. In other related entertainment news, the nominees for the 49th NAACP Image Awards were announced this week with Mary J. Blige and Jay-Z leading with 5 nominations, followed by Bruno Mars, Issa Rae, Kendrick Lamar, and SZA with 4 nominations. Charlie Wilson, Idris Elba, and Ledisi all have 3 nominations. The 2-hour live TV special will air on TV One on Monday, January 15th, 2018. Beginning with a 1-hour live red carpet pre-show. The show is hosted once again by Black-ish star Anthony Anderson. Go to WCLK.com to see all the nominees. Don't forget to tune in to the Soul Train Awards on BET and BET Her. This year's show is hosted by Erykah Badu and features performances by honorees Toni Braxton and SWV, along with Tamar Braxton, Keisha Cole, Kirk Franklin, Jesse J, 112, Tank, Ledisi, Luke James, and Major. That's this week's Casting Buzz and Entertainment News. I'm Reva Blue. Support for WCLK programming comes from Marietta's new Theater in the Square, presenting The Gift of the Magi 2.0. This adaptation centers around a local 1950s streetcar driver who is struggling to stay afloat during the Atlanta transit strike. The show opens on the 67th anniversary of the strike's end. The Gift of the Magi 2.0 runs November 16th through December 3rd. Ticket information is available at 770-426-4800 or online at theaterinthesquare.net.
Hey, yo, peace world. It's the Love King Raheem Devon, and you're listening to Ray Cornelius on Upfront.
My first guest is the star of OWN's newest docuseries, Checked In. I'm talking about none other than Monique Greenwood. For the past 20 years, she has been building her bed and breakfast empire, and viewers will now get a chance to see her in action. The show premiered this last Tuesday night and will air regularly on Saturday evenings as part of the network's holiday lineup. Greenwood stopped by the studios recently to chat about her success and the importance of family legacy.
Well, good morning, Monique Greenwood, and welcome to Upfront. How are you?
I am terrific. How are you?
I am excellent. So happy to have you here in the studio. Got a chance to see the new show, Checked In,
yes,
that's airing on OWN. And this is so good. We were talking offline before getting started that we've not seen this before on television.
It's true.
This is a brand new series. It's coming to OWN. You guys just premiered on Tuesday, November 21st. We have a new episode airing tonight at 10. And let's talk about that. I mean, this is, again, brand new to television. I've not seen these images in a very, since The Cosby Show, I would say.
You're absolutely right. I mean, I think we are showcasing us for who we really are, you know, and not who somebody else has portrayed us to be. And so, first of all, it takes place at a Quabba at the Mansion at Noble Lane in the Poconos. So we're getting you out of the inner city, if you will,
right,
and going up to the mountaintop. And it's a beautiful property that was a former Woolworth estate. And so you get to see beauty in all of its sense, beauty in terms of the place, but beauty in terms of the people and beauty in terms of the interaction that's taking place. And so, yeah, I mean, the first episode we had folks skiing.
I know.
We had one of our guests wanted to do something special for her husband's birthday. And we had her learn a burlesque dance and she did her own private dance for him. And so, you know, it's just a wonderful experience where you see, first of all, with my family and I, we own 4 bed and breakfast inns, and the idea that Black folks have a family-owned business and that my husband is good with that, the fact that I am kind of the alpha woman in running the show, so to speak, and he works with that.
Right.
And so you see that, and then you see the dynamic between the guests, between the couples that come, the girlfriends that come, the connections that they make with one another, and it's an opportunity for us to, again, embrace who we really are, our best selves.
And it's almost like this mix of HGTV and Ayanna Fix My Life, you know, all rolled up.
It's a big mashup, yeah. I would say so too. And then even with OWN's newest show, Black Love, it has a little bit of that because it's really couples being open and vulnerable and not being afraid to celebrate their love with one another. And they do that at the inn. They do that at the breakfast table. They do that in the activities that they take place. So it really is a fresh perspective. And this is the reason why I said, yes, let's do this show, because we got approached over 5 years ago by production companies thinking that we would make for a good reality show. But 5 years ago, reality shows were way too ratchet for me to sign on to and to expose my family to that and my business and my guests. And so, you know, we're just delighted that it has come a distance where, you know, we don't have to manufacture drama. There is drama inherent in the fact that you're running a small family-owned business. There's drama inherent in the fact that when the doorbell rings, I don't know who's on the other side of that door. I don't know whether or not they're coming with just luggage or if they're also bringing baggage. You know, so these are new discoveries, and it really plays out well.
And speaking of drama, there's this, I don't want to say tension, but there is this thing between you and your daughter where you're really trying to get her to understand the entire vision. I think one of the things I enjoyed from the first episode is when you told her that as the editor of Essence, you could not pass that down to her.
Yes.
And so you created this business so that you can, you know, form this family legacy and getting her to really understand that. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean,
that's so important.
Yeah, it's important. It's resonated with the viewers because, you know, when I look at us as a people in our culture, so very seldom does a Black-owned business transfer from one generation to the next.
Right.
So each of us have to come in and start from scratch. Well, that's not how generational wealth is built. And so, yes, when I had the pleasure and honor of being editor-in-chief of Essence Magazine, it was my dream job, but it wasn't my dream legacy. And when I made the decision to leave Essence and to really pursue and build a bed and breakfast, I did that because I knew that I couldn't leave a job to my daughter, but I could absolutely leave her this business, this portfolio of real estate, and hope that she would take it to the next level and preserve it and maintain it and then pass it on to her daughter. The unfortunate part is that I was one and done, so she's my only child. And that is a big burden, and it is a big responsibility, and it's a big ask for her to do this. And she grew up in the bed and breakfast. She was 3 years old when we started it. And while I think she appreciates what I've built and she is grateful for the opportunity to have the option of doing this, her passion is to be a writer. And so she is committed to telling our stories through the printed word in books. And I encourage that. But at the same time, I need her to understand that she has to maintain this legacy. And I believe that it's possible for her to do both. So while I encourage her writing, at the same time, I'm saying you've got to have a part in this as well. And for a sister like me who has 10 jobs, I think she can have two. Yeah.
So how did Essence prepare you for this position?
That's a good question. Actually, I feel like the bed and breakfast innkeeping prepared me for Essence and vice versa. It all has a common goal, and that is to see us win. You know, whatever it is, let's see us at our best. But being a reporter, being a journalist means that you have to be intuitive. You've got to be able to read body language. You've got to get right to the chase. And that's what I do when the guests walk in the door. I go, you know what? This brother don't want to be here. This is all her idea. He does not want to be here. And then I run through the house and find the staff and let them know we got a dragon. And that means, you know, we've got to pull it on extra thick for him. We got to win him over. And I love that. I call it doing the dance. By the time they leave, they're dancing out the door with me. You know, so we just have to turn that around. And so I think that being a reporter, being a journalist, helped me to really kind of see, get right to it, and amplify what was happening. So it has prepared me. The attention to detail piece is just like, you know, I don't like half stepping. I'm sorry. I just don't. You know, if you're going to do it, you're going to do it. And so for me, I see everything, and they know that I do. And so, you know, yeah, I've got a great staff. But a lot of them, I tell them, I said, you know, if you don't quite do that so right, so the way I want it or what have you, you don't think it's a big deal. And if you lose your job, you don't think that's a big deal, because I know you can go and find another minimum wage job. I know you can do that. But I can't.
Right.
See, I built this for 22 years. This is what I do. No one's hiring me at this point, you know? So this has to work. And so if I'm tough on you, it's because this matters. And if I'm tough on you, not only does the business matter, but it matters to these folks who are coming. It's their vacation. They've waited all year long. You know, they only get maybe a week or two off. They've saved up their money. They're coming. You have to understand this is so much bigger than providing a place where people can sleep. You know, it's so much bigger than the French toast you have for breakfast. We are feeding their souls. And if you don't get that, you can't be here.
Well, Monique Greenwood, thank you so much for stopping by the Upfront Studios. That is Monique Greenwood, star of OWN's new series, Checked In. It's airing on Saturday nights at 10 p.m. Got a new episode tonight. We can't
Absolutely.
Wait to check it out.
You
got
to check it out. It's going to be so much fun. It's called Get Your Sexy Back. And we invited single sisters of a certain age. And we're doing makeovers from head to toe and internal makeovers as well. And then introducing them to some fine, eligible, working brothers that they can perhaps connect with. It's going to be a lot of fun.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Did you have a stripper at your bachelor party?
No. Well, she was more of a fan dancer. Her name was Fatima. She was a very talented performer. She had these blue ostrich feathers, and she'd hold them in front of herself. And she'd do this dance to the music of Besame Mucho. Besame, Besame Mucho. Each time I cling to your kiss, I hear music divine. And she'd give you a little shoulder, and then take it back. Give you a little leg. Take it right back. Man, she was something.
That was the voice of stage, television, and film actor Earl Hyman, who was best known for his role on The Cosby Show as Cliff's father, Russell Slide Huxtable. Hyman was also known for his role on the cartoon Thundercats as the voice of Panthro and other various characters. He died on November 17th at the age of 91.
Hey, this is Jasmine Guy, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
My next guest starred as Whitney Houston's son in the now classic love story, The Bodyguard. I'm talking about actor Devon Nixon. Upfront recently caught up with the former child star to chat about the 25th anniversary of the film and his time on set with Houston. We also discussed his new series, Marvel's Runaways, which premiered this week on Hulu. This is an exclusive interview that you won't hear anywhere else. Well, good morning, Devon, and welcome to Upfront. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How about yourself, my man?
I'm doing just fine. So we're really, really excited around here to have you on and to commemorate the 25th anniversary of The Bodyguard. I remember, oh my God, I remember skipping school to go see the film with my sister. And those characters, the music, and Whitney, of course, just were etched in our minds. And so whenever I see the film, whenever I hear the music, it always takes me back to that time. But you had a very special role in that film. You actually played her son, Fletcher. And let's go back to that. Let's talk about, how did you get involved with that? Because you were like, what, 9 years old when that movie came out?
I was eight years old. So basically I had finished a film. I did my first movie when I was five. And it was a movie called To Sleep With Anger. It was with Danny Glover and Shirley Ralph. And I played Shirley Ralph's son in that as well. It was a fun movie. It got, I think, limited theatrical release, but it did come out. And then after that, I'd been auditioning, coaching. I was actually coaching with Betty Bridges, Todd Bridges' mom at the time.
Okay.
And, I got this audition came across, and, my mom was like, Bodyguard. Okay. Interesting. So I went in, I had a read here in Los Angeles, and, they called me back the next day. And Kevin Costner wanted to meet me. And so I went in for a call back, and they brought Whitney. And then I read with both of them. And then shortly after, I found out that I had gotten it. But, it's funny because I didn't know the kind of, the caliber of movie I was in at that point in time, because I was eight. So, none of this had really sank in just yet,
Yeah.
So it was kind of cool me going into it blind. And now looking at, all of the, all the stigma it has behind it, and how it's being commemorated, and how people just love this movie, and it's like a classic film.
Yeah.
So.
What was that like? I mean, did you know who she? I mean, because you have iconic parents yourself, but did you know who she was at that time?
I did. I knew that she was a singer. I knew that this is so funny. I knew she was a singer. I didn't know that at that time she had one of the best voices of that time, and arguably ever. I was just dumb to the whole situation. My mom had told me that Kevin had made a movie. I think he did Dances with the Wolves right before that.
Right.
And he was on his hot streak. So my mom told me, you're going to be working with a big actor and a singer. But I kid you not, I really didn't know, the weight that they held in the industry at that time. So I was just going into it as a kid, making a film and having a good time,
Yeah. What do you remember most about her, or just kind of being around her?
I remember that. So, there's a couple of moments, man. We filmed part of the movie in Lake Tahoe. This is the part where I was at the boat and the
right.
whole cabin scene and all of that. I remember Whitney used to sing, and she was very spiritual. So she, would always sing, just church songs that she and Kevin had grown up on, because, Kevin is very religious as well. So she would just, just sing to me every morning, read me a Bible verse. And, she was kind of my, she was my guardian on the set, because my mom actually had to leave, Tahoe and go back to LA. So I spent a lot of time with her, and, I was just mesmerized by her as a woman. She was like my second mother, and she introduced me to Christ and, told me God loved me. She was just very spiritual. That's what I remember the most about her.
Wow.
So
when you think about it now, when people talk about it now, I mean, are you kind of like, yeah, that was a film I did, blah, blah, blah. Or are you like, yeah, that was like,
you can't forget where you came from, and you can never be too big for your bridges, because the rug can get pulled out from under you at any moment. So going through life, I was always just a very humble kid. I never was like, oh, I'm in this movie, I'm in that movie, because you're only as important as your last job. This one just happens to be, a classic film, and I'm lucky I was a part of it. So when people recognize me, they tell me, oh my gosh, you still talk the same, you still have the same little list. I was like, no, well, I don't have my gap teeth anymore. Okay, guys, I don't have a little gap tooth, but I do definitely speak a little bit of the same, because I still have I lisp a little bit sometimes on some of my words. Yeah. So people are like, oh, Fletcher. I'm like, yeah, okay, that's me.
Wow. Go ahead. Yeah. Let me ask you, have you seen the musical version of the show starring Deborah Cox?
I did not see the musical version here in L.A. About 3 years ago in Germany, I went to, where was I in Germany? I can't exactly remember. Was I in Stuttgart? No, I was in Cologne, Germany. And they were doing a musical and they flew me out, me and my brother. And they did a musical, and it was all in German except for when she was singing. But I know the story so well, so it was just as enjoyable.
Yeah.
It was just beautiful to relive that. I mean, it's just so nostalgic for me to hear those songs. And, you know, ironically enough, it's funny, my good friend Tracy Ellis Ross and Evan and all of them, she hosted the AMAs, and I heard that they did a 25th anniversary kind of commemoration to Whitney.
Yeah.
Amazed. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
was going to say with Christina Aguilera performed.
Yeah, Christina Aguilera. Yeah. She performed some of her songs. I don't know. How did she do? I didn't see it.
Well, I'll say this, the reviews are a little mixed. I think, you know, when you're performing such iconic music. I mean, she did, Oh God, I'll Always Love You. She did Run to You. She did, I'm Every Woman. She did I Have Nothing. When you are doing and performing those types of songs, I think there's always the expectation of people wanting you to sound like the person who performed them before, in which we know that would never happen, because no one, right, you know, has a voice like Whitney Houston. But I think what, right, the other criticism I think that people had, you know, was, you know, could that have not been performed by, you know, a myriad of other performers? All of the songs were performed by Christina. So, you know, maybe she could have performed I Have Nothing, or maybe, you know, Jennifer Hudson could have performed,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I'll Always Love You. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that was the issue.
Cool. I would have definitely thought that they would have had a whole bunch of collaborations up there.
Yeah.
You know, a bunch of different takes on the song. Huh, AMAs, boo on you guys.
So let's switch gears. You are currently starring in a new Hulu series that premiered this week. It's called Marvel's Runaways. Tell us a little bit about the show and your character.
Oh, awesome. All right. So basically, the show follows six teenagers, wealthy teenagers that are living in Los Angeles. And they were childhood friends, and something kind of happened that pulled them apart. And basically, they reunite through Renzi. His name is Alex Wilder on the show. It's the main kid, African-American kid, which is awesome because the show is so ethnic. There's Asian kids. There's Asian girl on the show. Another white male. She's Spanish. A Spanish girl. So that's really cool. There's a great melting pot of race and diversity in the show. So basically they reunite, and one night they all meet up at the main character's house. What happens is that they find out that their parents, who are supposedly a part of a charity organization, are a part of a crime syndicate called Pride, and they find out that their parents are evil. So they band together, and they realize throughout the series that they also have these powers. And it's a lot of teen emotion. It's like OC, Gossip Girl meets Stranger Things meets Marvel kind of thing. And my character adds the edge to it. So I come in, and I'm the arch nemesis of one of the parents of the main kids. So I play a gang leader in the show, and my character recurs throughout the series. And I kind of add that edge, that spark. Not that the show needs it, but it adds it's going to draw an adult audience, because it's set up for a teen drama, but my character, I feel, adds the edge to pull, you know, the adults in, and the 20-year-olds, the 22-year-olds, the college students. So, and my character's name is Darius Davies, and yeah, you guys will see tonight. My character comes in on the second episode, so it was definitely a fun thing to shoot. We shot here in L.A., where I'm from, and it was easy. The cast was all nice, and, you know, I look forward to everybody watching in here, and everybody.
Well, Devon, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule. I know it's been, you know, pretty busy this week with the premiere of Marvel's Runaways, but I just wanted to get you on the show and to talk about, you know, The Bodyguard. Again, it's one of those, like you said, it's a classic film. It's one of those movies that you can say, you know, lines and people automatically know it. Or if you, you know, play a song, people automatically associate that with the film or with Whitney. So, again, thank you so much for taking time out, and happy anniversary.
Thank you. I'm honored to be a part of your show. Tell Atlanta I said what up. Thank you guys so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Don't know why there's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather since my man and I ain't together. Keeps raining all the time.
You just heard the voice of singer, actress, and minister Della Reese. Best known for her role as Tess on the dramatic series Touched by an Angel, Reese broke racial barriers in 1969 when she became the first African-American woman in the U.S. to host her own talk show. She passed away on November 19th at the age of 86.
Hey, y'all, what's going on? It's your boy Devon Franklin, author of the new book, The Hollywood Commandments, and you're listening to Upfront with your boy Ray Cornelius. Stay right here.
My last guests are Ms. Robbie and Charles from OWN's award-winning docuseries, Welcome to Sweetie Pies. The two were in Atlanta this week and stopped by the Upfront Studios to chat about the show's new season, which debuts tonight at 8 p.m. We also got a chance to hear new music from Ms. Robbie, as well as must-have items for any holiday dinner.
Well, good morning, Ms. Robbie and good Charles.
Morning. Good morning. Good
Welcome
morning.
To Upfront, you guys.
Thank you.
How
Thank
are you?
Glad to be here. I'm great.
Yeah. Good. It's a little chilly, but I'm glad to be here, too.
Well, it's a pleasure having both of you in the studio. I'm a huge fan of Welcome to Sweetie Pies. We're starting off a brand new season, which is going to air tonight on OWN. And yes. Let's talk about this new season. There's so much that's been going on, so much
it's
happening in and around the family and around the restaurant. So what can fans expect this new season?
Well, this season, you're going to see how a family really fights. And how we come back together with love and just different little things. TJ is growing up. Janae is going to be a mom. I'm still fussing and cussing at the restaurant. Tim and Charles in Houston. So we got a lot going on this season. Yeah. You got to watch. Got to watch.
Charles, what can we expect from you guys?
I mean, she's really hitting it on the nail, but yeah, definitely a lot of different stuff moving around. I'm trying to decide whether I'm going to live in Houston or California. Yeah. And then, you know, and then we've got the split of the family, you know, mom and Aunt Robbie being back home, me and Tim being away. So, you know, it's a lot going on. Yeah. It definitely is a lot, but I don't want to give too much away. So yeah. I got to keep talking.
You know, it actually shows how families. Because I never would have thought we would be going all these different ways. I just thought we was doing to death do us part. And right. Then these kids are growing up and they got their own life and their own mind. So you have to give them the chance to do what they do. But it don't mean you like it. I'm the type, if you're crossing the street wrong, I'm going to say something about it. I don't care how old you are. And like Tim, like I always tell people, he's too big for me to whoop, too old for me to put in time out. So I have to do what I do.
Well, do you think that is because of the success of the show, or is it just that people's desires or their goals change, or, you know?
I think people's goals change. I mean, this is my dream, so I wanted them there, but if they don't be there, I mean, they got their own things, their own dreams, their own minds, so you have to accept it. It's kind of hard, but because you want your family there, right. But yeah. It's like birds, they fly off.
Well, I would say that it definitely throughout being at the restaurant, as you know, the person she's talking about, goals changing, they do change. You know, starting off, obviously, I wanted to be in the restaurant just as much as I was there because I always, you know, I was like, oh, I'm gonna grow up, and then when she get ready to go, I'm gonna have this and I'm gonna do this. And then as you get older, you realize now that I am a manager, I'm like, I need a vacation day.
Right.
I'm ready to go. I don't want to be here no more. You see other things that you want to do and you see people doing, and you want to do those things too. So you just kind of, you know, you get lost for a second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think they realize now what it takes to run a restaurant. It's not all fun and games. It's a lot of work. So when Charles first started, like he said, he used to just be on the cell phone until I cuss him out and then make him work. So now he knows, being a manager in my position, what it is to make sure that a business is running successfully. Mm-hmm. So that's a part of learning in this family.
Now, part of these changes also involves this new restaurant that you guys have in Houston. So where are we with that? Because you guys were really affected by Hurricane Harvey.
Charles could tell you more about that.
With Hurricane Harvey, it did affect us a little bit. You know, we kind of took on a little bit of water, but it wasn't anywhere near as the damage that was around us.
Okay.
There were houses that were completely destroyed a block over.
Wow.
You know, so we took a lot of the time out. We actually weren't there for the hurricane. We left. We fled. And then we came back about a week after it and just kind of really started helping where we could. You know, Tim went to the shelters and started giving food out. And then we kind of, you know, helped some with breaking down the houses, the garage, you know, just trying to help get out some of that wet cement. I mean, you would see people without their everything they owned on the curb. So it was really, it was very heartbreaking. And that's something also that's going to be on the season that's coming out too. You'll see us working with that and us trying to build back up and, you know, just some of the issues that we went through with the Houston location.
Now, how do you manage that? I mean, of course, the cameras are following you, but this is your real life. Like, this is not a soap opera or a drama or some fictitious restaurant. This is how you make your living. So how do you balance, I guess, the reality of your real life and the reality of reality television?
Well, actually, I kind of say this is our life. We're not scripted or nothing like that. So we just do what we do, and the cameras follow around. I mean, if I get ready to holler, scream, I just do it.
I mean, difference is between our reality show and why it is so much realer than maybe another reality show. Those people aren't with each other every day. Mm. You know, they have to make time for them to come together. They have to make time, you know, so they really look for the drama. We're a family. We're together regardless. You know,
this is our life.
And this is our life. We work at restaurants. People were like, oh my God, you actually work at a restaurant. I wish I didn't, but I do, you know, so we don't have to find drama. It's right there. It is our lives.
I mean, somebody burnt the cornbread or messed up the corn, and honey, I'm going in there. I don't care who's looking. Like Jesus Christ. I'm going to say what I say because you done messed up my food. And so this is like our job. We are working. That is the difference. We do have a job and we do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, you also have another venture. You're venturing off into, a burger joint. Is that still on the table?
Yeah, I opened my burger joint.
Okay.
My first job was a restaurant called Billy Burt's, which was really popular in St. Louis. And the lady died many years ago. And I always like a good burger. You can't find them. They're all frozen or something like that. So I decided I was going to do that. Honey, and I got those burgers back out there, greasy burgers, and everybody's loving it. I love it. I eat them myself every once in a while. I want that greasy burger.
Right.
And so that's what it's been open about a week, about a month, something like that, a month.
About a month.
Yeah.
But I'm excited about that. Less employees, less problems. I mean, how bad can you mess up a burger? So
well, you can.
You can. Yeah. But believe me, I'm right there telling them too, watching them.
That was new music from you, Miss Robbie. It's Christmas Time Again. That's your new single.
That's my new
Let's
single.
Let's talk about that.
Well, you know what? I'm doing an EP, and this man said, Miss Robbie, you need to write a Christmas song because it'll last forever. So I stopped the EP, and I thought about all the things that happened at my Christmas and Thanksgiving dinner, going to visit other people home, and I says, I'll bring the turkey if you bring the wine. And then one of the things I said, don't bring me no presents. Your love is enough for me. And that's what I tell people when I have parties. I'm like, don't bring no presents because, you know, I don't want people to take the time out of thinking what they're going to get me and what can I get and all this stuff. Just come on. Let's have a good time. I don't need no present. So this Christmas song is about my family's Christmas dinner. And I wrote it and produced it.
All right.
So I'm excited.
Well, speaking of dinner, this is, as we've been talking about, this is the holidays. So what are some, what is one dish that everyone should have at the table?
Honey baked ham.
This is a honey baked ham. He's not coming if you ain't got honey baked ham. I think you should have greens.
Yeah.
Greens and cornbread and dressing. You got to have dressing.
Oh, he said one dish. One dish.
Well, I'll take it back. Greens.
Greens.
Okay, all right.
Oh, okay, well, let me ask. What dessert?
I do pear cobbler. Nobody's ever heard of pear.
No, well, no. Explain that.
We have that in at Sweetie Pie's.
Okay.
My mom, in the summertime, they would do their canning of the peaches and the apples and all this stuff and pears. And when she would run out of all the apples and the peaches, she would make the pear. And that ended up being the favorite, my favorite. And when people come to the restaurant, we have it on the menu. They're like, I never heard of pear cobbler. But once they try it.
Yeah, a lot of people are afraid to even try it. You know, they'll be like, oh, purr, I don't know about you. Know, everybody wants to say what they know.
Yeah.
And that's good. But I've gotten people to this point where we got people that come in, they be like, where the purr?
Where the purr
cobbler?
I
drove 30 miles for that purr cobbler.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Well, guys, thank you so much for stopping by the Upfront Studios. We totally appreciate you. Again, the show is airing tonight. At what time on OWN? It's airing tonight?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock?
8 o'clock, yeah.
All right. Again, that is Miss Robbie and Charles from Welcome to Sweetie Pies right here on Upfront. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to today's show. I'd really like to thank all of my special guests, Monique Greenwood, Devon Nixon, Miss Robbie, and Charles. I'd also like to thank my engineer, Mark Angel, and you. Please join us next Saturday, December 2nd at 9 a.m. for another exciting edition of Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry. Happy Saturday, Atlanta. If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, has been brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station 91.9 FM WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.